Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy. It's
striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, friends. Today is Friday, 4th day of March, 2011. Quick look at the numbers. Dow is off by 111 points. S&P is down by 12 and a quarter. The comp is down 17 and a half. So, happy Friday. Here we are. Let's come have a look at the chart. Okay, Bert, got your message. Bert is with us. Good morning, Bert.
Morning, Dwayne. How are you?
I'm very good. Michael, are you with us? Michael's not with us yet. He will be. Okay, here's the hourly chart. I've been trying to make a habit of starting out each day looking at the hourly chart. No promises or guarantees, but the days that I remember, this is where we'll start. Hey, we found dynamic support at a weekly trading zone. It's like a double whammy, okay? Back on Tuesday night on the overnight session, green dots, dynamic support. Okay, we printed, we ran up to the weekly trading zone at 09:10, pulled back, hit it again, pulled back, hit it again. And on this pullback here, we caught the 13:09, 13:10 weekly trading zone. That's where we made our turn. At that point, we're able to draw a trend line and connect these two bottoms. Okay, we have no idea what's going to happen out over here. All we can do is connect these. So we scroll across, we see we finally printed dynamic resistance. And here's an instance where we traded through it. We traded through it. We then held it on a pullback. We then made a move up to the next weekly trading zone, which is 1329/1330. I mean, just a straight line from zone to zone. And then the market went about as flat as you're apt to see it go. These are all 1 hour candles right here. Flat. Now we hit that 1332 that we talked about. Bert, you had that as a number yesterday, correct? Mike Reed had that as a number yesterday. Bert, did you have the 32 as a number yesterday? You did, right? Okay, Bert popped in to say hi, now he's gone. Okay, he did. All right. And Michael, I can hear you.
Yes,
are you okay?
You can hear Jake, but yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, 1332. That was a number talked about by a number of people on the show yesterday for various reasons. Mike Reed had it as a number. David, I think, mentioned 32 as well. We'll talk to him in just a minute and find out. And so you can see what happened is this weekly trading zone at 2930 up to this 32 number. These are hours. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Even on the overnight, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Then the 17th hour, this thing puts in a very bearish-looking candle. Okay. Now, we tried to hold this trend line for a good 45 minutes. Just kept bouncing off of it, bouncing off of it, bouncing off of it. And then once this candle opened here, right in the zone, 29.30, here comes the drop. Okay. Second hour, third hour. Here we are. This is it, right here. Now what we're waiting for is dynamic support to print. We traded up through resistance. So the next thing we're going to see print will be dynamic support. Where is it going to come in? We'll watch and see. We'll find out together. It could happen on the next hour. We've got 20 minutes to print a new candle. Hey, for those of you who are visiting with us for the first time today, that you are in David's webinar yesterday, I want to welcome you. Glad you were able to join us. We do this every day for at least an hour. Today will only be 1 hour. Most days we run an hour and a half. Yesterday we ran 2 hours, but you're invited to come back and visit with us each and every day at this time. Michael, anything you'd like to add, point out, put in?
Not so much on the ES, but on the YM, we just had a quick drop from zone to zone here, from the 12180, 12175, 180, right down to the 12125, 130 zone on the YM. That's a pretty huge move there. And, yeah, looking there on your 30-minute, it happened in one candle for the most part. That's pretty good. We didn't have a setup to get into that, but we did have earlier on the ES, we did have an opportunity to short that gave us a profit. We were shorting, I believe, where did I short? 21.5 a little while ago. Took profit at 19.5. The ES moved down too quickly after that to give us any opportunity to get in. See on the if you're looking at a faster time frame like the 2100 tick, you'd be able to see that we never had the opportunity, unfortunately. Definitely bearish, and we look to be heading right down to the next weekly trading zone here at 1415. You know, we had said that earlier this morning, and we bounced off of the 2425 area a couple times, and that last bounce off was the one that sent us down. You know, we penetrated it right around 10 o'clock, right after the factory orders came out. And we dropped all the way down to 19, went back up and tested 24.25 again, got rejected again, dropped down at 19.5, went back up and tested it one last time, and it was totally rejected this time, and now we're down at 16.5. Looking to get down to the 14.15 area here.
So, again, now this is a 10K chart. What Michael just said, but I'm going to show it to you on a little different time frame here. This is a volume chart. Here's the open right here. Price runs up to the 29.30, gets rejected, tests it again, gets rejected, tests it again, third time. This time we print dynamic resistance, and it drops. Now we drop through the 24.25. Now, if we go back a day, yesterday, as we traded up through 24.25, we tested it, it held a support, tested it, held a support, tested it, held a support, and away we went. This morning on the way back down, that 24.25 was of little importance on the way down. Its importance came into play over here. On the test, it held as resistance. Just like Michael said, as resistance, and here we are now ready to go down and touch the 1415. Now, we just made a move from 2425 to 1415. That's a 10-point drop. 100 points roughly on the YM. Let's see if it was it a 100-point drop on the YM?
On the YM, no, it was not 100. Almost. We dropped from 204. We're just about there, though.
Yeah, we're at 107. So.
Yep, 107.
Okay. So here's what we anticipate. We anticipate now that we've hit this 1415 area, that price will stall here. We'll get some consolidation. We may get a continuation of the move, even down to the 13.9, 13.10. Let me show you this. That big gap up that we had, that's sitting way down at like 13.06. You can see here the sentiment indicator this morning did go bearish. A very nice little pullback. And then the drop. Yeah, that's pretty good. So if this thing is going to fill, we're talking about something way down here-ish. Somewhere in this area down here for this to continue dropping. Now we're at 13.14, so that would be another 11 points below us. S&P is already down 15 points on the day. So that's a bit drastic. Could it happen? Sure. Anything can happen. Am I predicting it'll happen? No. Our next stop is 1309, 1310. And then below that, 1299, 1300. Now we've not been in that area. Lowest we've traded what this week is 1302. No, what day was this? No, I take that back. Early in the week we did trade the 1299, 1300 area. We sure did. In fact, we on Globex we traded as low as 1296. 1296 and a half. It looks like.
96.
Yeah.
Yeah, 96 quarter.
I can see a dynamic support coming in underneath that level a couple days ago.
Yeah, and we could see that right here because we traded down through, well, we traded down through support on this chart. You can see here that dynamic resistance held here, dynamic support held here, dynamic resistance held here, but support, we traded through it, and that happens. And so we're always prepared for that when it does. It traded through. Now, as you can see, we're on the 10,000 contract chart. So we've printed 10, 20, 30,000 contracts right in this area. So the market is pausing to reflect. I mean, it was just falling. It hits this area and says, hang on. Let's think about this. Do we really want to keep going down? And all that trend line is doing is taking you from zone to zone. That's all. I mean, yeah, it connects with the top of this candle here. Doesn't hit that one there. But it's just really nothing more than a visual aid so that if that pops out of there and then we get on the other side of this BBC, then we may retrace some of this move down. Do we reverse and undo all of the damage today on a Friday, heading into the weekend? I don't think so. Any bounce out of here, I think I would be more interested in selling that rally. I mean, I'm not totally opposed to getting long here, knowing that all I'm doing is trading long on some kind of a bounce. But the better trade, I think, would be to let it bounce. And then once it stalls out up in this area here, wherever that may be, tend to try to get short back down into this area, whereas we can see it's firming up here. We've got, this will be our fourth candle, fifth actually, right in this area. So that's 50,000 contracts as the market makes up its mind. So Bert, what's happening on your side of the desk?
Buying, selling, selling, buying, buying, selling, selling, buying. About that order.
Okay.
No, it's all it's all crude oil. Crude's, I mean, I think everyone should know, crude's at 104. And so that's putting the weight on this whole, I think that's the culprit right here. We had some strong economic reports. I think people expected that. And then looks like we built it in with that hourly reversal candle off the top there in that first hour.
Yep, you brought that up first thing this morning. That was good.
And then it was crude oil ever since. So we'll see. You know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think we'd even get to the 32, 34 level a couple days ago. But we did, because that's what the markets do. And see sometimes our expectations. But today it seems like it's all about crude oil. So
now if you look at just an intraday chart here, if you see this 32 level, during the day session, that 32 held. I mean, we tested it yesterday afternoon. Now, on Globex, we spiked up and hit, let's see what the high was. Was it 34 and change?
Oh, the high after the number was 34 half.
Yeah, 34 early this morning. Okay. But then you go back to just an intraday chart, you don't see it. Does that mean it didn't happen? No, it happened. There was buying and selling activity up at that 34 half. But on an intraday session, there's no sign of it.
Yeah. So that, you know, with that being said, we have gold on the march again. We got gold at 1431 and a half of 15. That's tagging along with the crude oil market. Silver's at 35, 32, that's up a dollar. The currencies are somewhat mixed. They've been kind of immune to this whole thing, have been effing their own tune, so to speak. And the treasuries, like the 30-year bond, the 10-year notes, are more in a defensive posture. The bonds are up 30 points, up at 119.10. So people are going into this weekend a little defensive, just in case there's something unusual happens in the Middle East, I guess. So,
like peace?
Yeah, right.
that would be something unusual in the Middle East, that there would be peace. Yeah.
There never will be peace
in
the Middle East.
There will be peace in the valley.
So
all right.
That's about it. I would keep an eye on, remember a couple days ago, David and some other of the guys on the show had an important level around that 1311, 1312 level, which we're probably going to hit here in a few seconds. That, I think was a key level for the week. So people should keep an eye on that level as maybe a first line of support, you know, if you're in the mood to buy. But, I would hold off on any buy buttons today for the moment. The thing cools off. Good morning, Jake.
Did you hear him?
Good morning, Jake.
By the way, people, that is Jake. Jake and Beck.
Yes, it's true.
That is Jake.
We are a family-friendly show. And we're dog-friendly, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I was talking to David the other day, and he said that the guy that works in his office brings in a Doberman. He's hanging around the office.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, that's funny on many levels. So,
so if you think you're going to... Never mind, I'm not going to go there.
You know, that's a big deal at Google. Everybody gets to bring their dogs to work. But interestingly enough, they're not cat-friendly. And in their official statements, they when you become an employee and you get your employee packet, it talks about the dog-friendly culture there. And then they go on to say, we really don't have anything against cats, per se. However, we encourage you to refrain from bringing them to the office because we are a dog-friendly culture here, and we are afraid that your cat would just be really nervous with all the dogs around. So it's sort of an unsaid thing, don't bring the cat. But, those guys eat so well. They got some rule that there's these little mini kitchens all over the Googleplex, and a worker should never be a 100 feet? It might be less. It might be 50 feet. 50 or 100 feet away from nourishment. Because they want them to stay at their desk and stay focused and work. You know, none of this, I'm going out for lunch, I'll be back in a couple hours. No, no, no. They got their snacks everywhere. Plus, of course, they have their dining rooms, their chefs that cook up fresh stuff every day. But above and beyond that, if you're there working in the middle of the night at 3 a.m., there's a snack just right there. They really do take care of their people. Their culture is unlike no other. It really is. All right, we said we're going to keep this to an hour today, and we will. So at this time, we are going to head over to our studios in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm well today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. And Bert, are you there? Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
Well, good.
Great webinar yesterday. We had quite a few people turn out who visited your webinar yesterday, so they're here today to hear you live in real time.
Well, here I am, and I have a few things we can... I know you're short on time today, Dwayne, so...
Well, we got a half hour.
Well, but I chew through a half hour like most people, you know, a half hour. I mean, that's I'm just getting started.
Are you still saying hello?
I'm still saying hello and my introductory jokes in a half hour. I've got a half hour.
Okay.
All right.
Classic.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's start today with the soybeans because this is a market that is on a tear, like many markets are right now. But I want to give a great example. This is for people who are new and have not, you know, the Reflected Wave seminar yesterday, the people that are from there, there's a second technique that we've developed over the years called spatial relationship forecasting. And that technique allowed us to make this call in soybeans on the weekend. So in our soybean report, we had forecast that March 1st or March 2nd would mark a very important turning point and bottom in this case, and that the market would advance 72 cents off of that low. So the low that was made on March 1st was 1353. This is May soybeans. Was 1353. If you add 72 cents to that, that brings you to 1425. Take a look at today's high in May soybeans, 1424.5, basically completing the 72-cent advance. For those of you who don't trade in soybeans, the per penny value is the same as it is for the S&P 500, which is, in this case, it's $50 per penny. In the S&P, it's $50 per point. So this was a very, you wouldn't have caught the whole thing, but let's just say, just for argument's sake, that's a $3,600 per contract. So that's a very, very sizable move. And this is, for Dwayne and for the ordinary listeners, this forecast is a very good example of how the spatial relationship stuff can play out and how you really can say that the market is not random. The odds of being able to be correct about a call of that size and picking the date and the price movement and all the other factors is very, very slim. And I don't think we, you know, can call that luck. There really is. The markets do have a nature. They do have a way of telegraphing what they're going to do, but the language that they speak it in is not one-dimensional. It's more than simply looking at price. It's more than simply looking at volume or time. So anyway, that completed, and I messaged this morning that the first target on the downside for soybeans off that target would be $13.95, and today's low is $13.95.6. So there's been a number of really good little short-term trades, and short-term in soybeans can be several days because this market can really move. But again, imagine the S&P moving 72 points in 2 days or 3 days. That's a really lot of movement. So for the people that are new and people who had come to yesterday's webinar, don't discount soybeans because it's not, you know, not so attractive or maybe not as sexy as the S&P. It actually moves larger than the S&P and it pays the same. So it's something for you to consider. We have a product for soybeans and we do like to trade in this market precisely because of those reasons. So it can be very, very good. I think for those of you who are trading, whether you're using Duane's indications or your own or perhaps ours, you can look at the soybeans and see if it kind of ties in with the way that you look at markets. You know, look at its movement. One of the things I will say about soybeans that I've noticed as a general theme is that it's not as tricky as the S&P is before it gets underway for a big move. If the S&P was going to make a 72-point move, it would do all kinds of little sachets in front of you before it launched for that move. It really would.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have dancers here in Las Vegas that can do the sachet that the S&P would before it launches a 72-point multi-day move. But if you look at March 1st, the bottom that they made on March 1st, perhaps on a daily chart or a 60-minute chart, it was really very simple. The market went down. It put in a bottom at 1353. It tested that low once, and then it was off and running. That's why I say that the soybeans is a more it's an easier market to trade for these larger moves. And these forecasts, putting the forecast aside, your own indications, whatever they may be, your own understanding of what the markets are doing, can be used quite effectively, and you'll find that the soybeans is a very easy market to trade for the most part. You're going to take a loss from time to time. There are going to be some moments where you don't get it right, but in general, it's a heck of a lot easier to be in a large move in soybeans than it is to be in a large move in the S&P. Duane, would you agree with that, or have you found that to be the case?
I agree.
Okay, well, there you go.
There you
I pay
go.
Duane to agree with me. It's just, if I say that, I can send him $50.
Let me check with the studio audience. There you have it.
There you are. So we'll see, and then real quick, just to finish up on soybeans, we do have, it's Friday already, this week went very quickly. The next important date for soybeans is March 8th, and we're going to update this in our weekend report. There's going to be a very good move that occurs out of that date as well. I don't have all the details at this point, but March 8th will be the next important date for soybeans, and that's the natural date, by the way, for the price of $13.95. We messaged this morning. because they hit it today, that leaves the market in an interesting position coming into next week. And our report for soybeans comes out on Sunday, and we should have some more information about how big of a move we're going to get out of soybeans. And you can trade along with us for the new people if they'd like to, because we'll talk about it here. Even though we do have paying subscribers, obviously, for the report, on this program, I like to give out forecasts and price movement and all the other things so that people, Duane's listeners, and anybody else who's interested can see if that ties in with the work that you're doing already. I think it's a good idea to If somebody says this is what we think the market's going to do, it's not a bad idea, if you're not brand new to the markets, to try to tie that forecast or that indication in with something you already understand. And so you can say to yourself, you know, my stuff looks like it's bottoming. You know, this is you saying to yourself, maybe you're using some form of an indicator of some kind, and you could say, well, yeah, I can see that the market may be bottoming here, and they're calling for X number of points up. And if you have that, that can add some confidence and really make the trade more believable, number one, and number two, that it has a little bit of your insight in it, because that really helps. Just trading completely blindly, some people can do it. There's some people are willing to do it, but it's more difficult psychologically to be in a position where you don't understand why you're in it. You're just following somebody blindly. We have a product where we try to give as much information as we can, Messenger Pro, about certain setups. But the purpose of our upcoming Reflected Wave seminar is to teach the turning point methodology so people can put the turning points to work in their own trading as well, which I think is going to be a remarkable addition to anybody's set of skills. It's very good to have a number of different things that you can use in the market, a tool belt filled with a number of different tools. We've talked about this many times on the program.
Hey, who did you have answering your phones this morning?
I'm sorry?
Who did you have answering your phones this morning?
Well, we've got Johnny might have answered the phone this morning.
Must have been, because this one guy, this listener, Dick, he says he called your office this morning and that he spoke mm-hmm. to the most wonderful individual, truly a gentleman. And I was trying to figure out who he had actually spoken to.
Well, I'd like to think of myself as that gentleman. But
no, I'm just teasing you. No, Dick wanted me to tell you that he wanted to say hi, and he wanted to tell you that he really enjoyed the conversation, and he really looked
forward. And who was this? Who was it that called?
Richard, Dick.
Oh,
from Canada.
Richard.
Yeah.
Okay, from Canada. Yeah. No,
yeah,
great
and he,
guy.
I guess he's coming out to Vegas, and he really looks forward to meeting you. And he just wanted me to tell you he really enjoyed the conversation.
That's very kind of him. And I told Johnny after that call that that was a very nice sentiment that he expressed, because he was calling just to say that he's excited about going and that he can't wait, and you know he's looking forward to it. And I love that outlook.
Yeah.
And I assured him that he's going to have a great time, and he's going to learn a lot of very important and really what I think. Wonderful technique. So thank you for saying that, Richard. And if he has any further questions, he's, of course, welcome to call, and we'll cover any of that stuff with him.
Okay.
So anyway, that's funny, Dwayne. Okay, so let's see. We'll move on from soybeans. But for people who are watching and want to maybe do something with soybeans, keep an eye on March 8th as the next important turning point. We'll talk about that next week as we get into a little bit closer to that date. I do want to get to the S&P, and we'll get that in a second. Let's see if there's anything else of importance. You know, we had in the euro, this is a market that we don't normally trade in, but about 4 or 5 days ago, we had forecast that the euro had made a bottom on February 28th, and that it would normally advance to 139.22, and that the next target above that was 139.75, which they did. And the final target, if they're going to, give me just a moment here. I think they already did the final target, the 1401, which we gave out yesterday on your program. They've done it all. So this is a market that went from 137.10. That's the way you have to say it. That's what the number is. I'm surprised Michael Bork didn't correct me on that. But he is he's probably busy there. 137.10. It's gone up significantly. So these targets, we got all three were hit. The main trade two target was 139.22, which was about at that point maybe 60 cents away. Each one of these cents is worth $12.50. The next target was 139.75, which they completed, and then the final target was 140.01, which they completed today. So wonderfully, they completed the whole deal, and very much like soybeans did, and now the market is likely going to have a reaction off of this high. I have not done the calculations or anything on this because this is a new market to us. We're not experts in these markets, but I think there's probably going to be a pretty good trade, a reversal trade on this, and we'll update Dwayne on this on Monday as well. so that maybe we can sell one of the advances or whatever. One of the nice things about having a forecast is that, as an example, if you had the information that the market was going to go from 140.01 down to, say, you know, 139, a full dollar down, if you have that information and you know that it's from a reliable method, you know, you don't have to pick the exact top at that point. You can sell rallies at any point that the market decides to and sell against those rallies for further decline. I don't want to make it sound too simple, but it is just about that simple, because the market is going to, in most cases, in the vast majority of cases, run to the target. So even if you miss that initial entry, you don't have to be concerned that there's not going to be another entry point. For the most part, the market will not usually go straight down or straight up to a number. It will give you pullbacks, and even that soybean move where they had the straight line move up, it still had pullbacks along the way. And so very nice entries. And for the people who are going to the Reflected Wave seminar, you're going to learn how beautifully Reflected Wave calls pullbacks in an existing uptrend or rallies in an existing downtrend to the bar. So one of the things I like about these forecasts is that you don't have to worry about trying to nail the exact tippy-tippy top, because there's plenty of opportunities to get short along the way, since you have a good indication that it's going X number of points down and it has not reached that yet. See, so that's why. Now, this morning we did that. We can switch over to the S&P now. We did that in the S&P this morning, where early in the session we had mentioned that we wanted to be short from, I don't remember what the number was. let me get it up here and stay with me for one moment here.
1131, 32,
Something like that. We shorted it at 1130. Excuse me, 1330. And but the message was that short isn't going to be valid if they touch 26 before getting a short, because the initial downside target, even though it's only a small move, and that's that same idea at work. 26 was going to be touched. We want to be short if we can get short, and the market advanced, and we sold short right at the 30 level, and the market reversed right back down and went right down to the 26 level. That's an example of that. Now, we're much lower than that right now, but I'm just giving you a very short-term example of, if you have a price target that's based on a methodology that is reliable, then you can comfortably sell rallies on the way down to these targets, and that's exactly what Messenger Pro did this morning to make that gain, and we had one other trade as well. So anyway, let's take a look at the S&P right now and see where we are. We've declined quite sharply, and I want to give you a couple indications here for it. Give me just one moment here. First of all, in general, this is sort of a general statement, but before we even get to today, late yesterday, and somebody asked us about this in the webinar, and maybe that person is online right now, we had forecast yesterday that the fourth hour, this is using something that we call the hourly roadmap, that yesterday's fourth hour would mark an important turning point. And unusually, this is not something that happens very often, especially with this particular technique, the market inverted on the fourth hour. So we were looking for a decline off of the fourth hour top, whatever that high was at the time. So it did invert, and we messaged out to subscribers that because it inverted, that the market was going to go up to 1335, and that would be the top. And so we couldn't be in that because we don't trade on the overnight, you know, officially for the S&P product, but the market on the overnight went up to 1334.50, and that marked the top for this large decline. Now, what that shows is that the energy that was in the market for reversing at the fourth hour, it inverted, and it spent that same energy in this case. It's not always the same amount, but it spent that same energy going up. So if you take the low on the fourth hour, which was 2650, and add what we were forecasting, which was an 8-point move. It takes you up to 34. And we were forecasting basically 35 for the final target on the upside there, and they did complete that on the overnight. This decline now, so first of all, I wanted to mention that somebody had asked us yesterday about that, and that's not a reflected wave turning point. This is all part of an hourly roadmap, and the roadmaps are a different class of techniques. They're based on a different principle, and reflected wave doesn't really have inversions in its turning points, but the hourly roadmap can invert. These types of turning points can invert, and they can make very good trades when they do, but in this particular case, you had to wait on the overnight for the completion of 34.35 on the upside. So let's see. I'm rushing a little bit here, Dwayne, because I know
Okay, we still got 16 minutes.
Well, there you go. Okay.
David, what do you have downside target potentially on this run?
Are you talking about on the S&P?
Yeah.
Well, let me address that a little bit in two ways. First, in my normal voice, and then in sort of a silly high-pitched whine. Okay, got a little laugh out of that. All right, that's from Monty Python, for people who don't know that. Some Monty Python thing from a long time ago. Or maybe it's from something else, I don't remember. Anyway, normally, under normal conditions, yesterday's reversal at 35, they didn't quite make it to 35, they got to 34.50. But the reversal off of that inverted hourly roadmap, that would normally take the market down to, in one moment here for that, to 07. So what we're talking about here is the possibility of a multi-day decline with the market going to lower prices than where we are. We've already hit a low of 11.50, but normally it would go down lower. Now, for today, these are certain conditions that have come up for today, and I just want to point these out. And give me one moment here. A daily close today above 21, we're well below that right now, would negate most likely any further decline off of this indication that we're talking about. So daily close above 21 would negate that, but under normal conditions, barring that, we would want to sell rallies for further decline, and it may require into Monday. This is Friday, so it may require into Monday to get these that target, you know, to go lower here. We could do it all today. It's very possible, but I'm just letting people know that the bias would be on the short side. This isn't an outright forecast like an hourly roadmap. I'm just telling you the natural movement for the market based on the completion, the inversion of the roadmap yesterday, the advance and the completion of that same energy on the upside, and then the reversal would normally take prices down to 07 or lower. So we'll see how that plays out between today and Monday. I would tend, like Dwayne was saying earlier, I would tend to want to be a seller in this market against on rallies rather than a buyer until that gets completed on the downside. So I think basically for right now, that's all we have. We do have something else I do want to mention for people, and I don't have all the information for it right now, so I apologize because I normally give it out on the show every day, and Dwayne can confirm that. But we do have a roadmap for today, likely into the next, basically into today's, what are we in right now? We're in the fourth hour, so basically into starting in today's fifth hour, we have the potential for a hourly roadmap, which would be a nice trade, and we'll take, even if that's a trade to the upside, I would be willing to take that if it's based off of a roadmap. For people that are new that don't know, a roadmap is simply a forecast for a specific price movement from one low to a specific high. Like as an example, we might say something like the market's going to bottom at, you know, 13.1150, and it's going to advance, let's just say, 8 points to 13, you know, 19 or 13.20. That would be the setup, that would be the roadmap, and then we would look for long entries along the way that we could buy the market and stay in the market for that forecast. And basically, like I said before, we would be buying pullbacks for a continued advance if that was the roadmap, and trade that all the way up. That again is the beauty of the roadmap or having a forecast, is that you can put together a pretty nice trade, and you can trade with some pretty good confidence, which is a big issue, being able to say to yourself, I'm going to buy pullbacks in this uptrend.
Right,
and further advance.
And a good point there is the example you just used, I think, was 1308, right?
1307. I was talking about 1307 is the natural target for the decline off of...
Okay, and then a potential rally up to...
No, no, I was just saying that let's just say we called a roadmap right now.
I just wanted to use the same numbers.
Okay.
Part of the beauty of that is that you don't have to just... Based on what he said, if that were an actual forecast, which it's not, or a roadmap, you don't have to blindly buy 1307 and hope it turns around and hope it heads up. Because usually there's enough distance in a roadmap that based on whatever it is that you used, you can see price start to consolidate in that area, that 1307.
Right.
And then kind of turn and start heading in the other direction. At which point you can go, maybe he was right. And then, as David was just saying, as the roadmap completes itself, then you're buying pullbacks on the way up. Because you've got some confirmation that the market, in fact, did bottom, or at least attempted to bottom in that area, and now it's starting to move higher. As opposed to... just getting steamrolled, just sitting there going,
And all of us, I just want to remind anybody that's new, this is a subject we've talked about many, 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 many times on this radio program, and everybody on the program is in concert with this or believes this is to be the case. You have to trade with risk management. You're not suitable for this business, the business of trading, unless you're going to trade with risk management. Risk management means placing stops. It means knowing how to place the stop, where to place the stop, and understanding that if you get stopped out, that's an edge that you have. You are able to stop yourself from losing further, which you can't do in many other types of investments, like, as an example, your home. It went down in value, and you couldn't stop that decline because you own the home. Nor was it very easy for you to sell the house and get out of it. So you had to sit, you were forced to sit with it all the way down till it's practically worth less than the lumber it was made with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have an option in futures trading to make sure that that doesn't happen. And that's an edge that you have. That's an edge that you don't have to throw all of your money at one idea. It's a beautiful edge. You have to think of stops as an edge, not as something that you are being punished by. Well, I'm not going to place a stop because they're just going to go hit it. Well, I got news for you. If they're going to go hit it, maybe you shouldn't have been in that trade.
That's right.
Okay, now, there are times where you're going to be stopped out of a move, and everybody goes through this, and the market firms right back up, and then it runs. And the first thing you're going to say, if you're at the junior high school level in trading, is, hey, they stopped me out of that trade, and now they went and ran them. Well, I've got news for you there. Get rid of that attitude, because nothing stops you from, once you get stopped out, from getting back in the trade, once they firm up at that number that you thought was a good number originally, and start to consolidate and move higher. Nothing stops you from getting in except what? You. And what stops you is that all it takes right now is a tiny little slap on your face and you don't want to play anymore. But I'm telling you that some of my best trades, some of the biggest gains I've made in the markets, have been where I was forced out of a position and then I had to make the decision to get back in because the market firmed back up. And so many times that turns into a wonderful move. Think about that whole concept that I'm telling you now. I'm not going to go into any more detail about it, but play that through your mind, because how you handle both the winning and the adversity in the market is altogether determines how tasty the soup is, how good it all is in the end. And so don't be afraid. Here's the consolidated final harmony here. Don't be afraid to get back into a position when the market has stopped you out and it later confirms, because sour grapes or calling up and saying, well, I got it right, but they stopped me out and then they ran them, you do have an opportunity in almost every case to get back in. But most people are frightened by having been stopped out and they don't want to take that opportunity that's laid out in front of them. The market gives some of its best opportunities right after giving you that little bit of a slap. And I say little bit because your stops are going to be reasonable. You're not going to be letting them run against you. If you're trading with the idea that, well, I'm going to wait until they let me out with a break even, you won't be in this business very long. Check the ads for a job now, because that type of attitude is not going to make it, not only in the S&P but any of the other markets, even if they're easier. You have to understand that a stop is an edge. Just like a gambler sitting at the table who has an edge, your ability to stop the loss is an edge. And when you get better at trading and you find out that at the end of the month you're looking and you made, let's just say you made $3,000 or whatever it is at the end of the month, and you're looking over your trades and you're saying, gosh, here's a couple of trades that if I had not used my edge, my stop, they really ran them, and I wouldn't have any of this $3,000 that I'm staring at right now. On that day, on that hour, on that moment, you'll really understand what an edge really is, that stops are. Stops really are a wonderful edge, because if you don't use them, they can take away all the gains that, but for that, you would have been staring at on your statement at the end of the month. So I hope that's useful information. This is people, I know a lot of people have heard this already from me, but for the benefit of new people, I really like to let people know how important it is to use this risk management, not because I want you to go through pain, but because I want you to understand that that's an edge that keeps you in the game. That little bit of pain lets you stay in the game, and we've done it many times on Messenger Pro. We did it the other day in soybeans when we were long. We were stopped out. We got right back in, and we had a nice whoosh up. Bert was trading that for people. Those are the types of things where you take advantage of the fact that you see what's happened. Okay, they're doing it. They stopped me out, and now they're reconfirming. I'm going to be the rare guy or the rare trader that steps in, I meaning you or anybody who has this information, and you're going to take advantage of that and not be afraid to get back in, because some of the best and biggest moves come right after they do that. 90+% of the people, once they get stopped out, they don't want to play anymore on that same idea.
Right.
Well, I'm done. So you have to ask the girl out a couple times, before she says yes. So even in real life, in day-to-day life, like trading is not real life, but in real life, in day-to-day stuff, the girl doesn't always say yes right away. And so you're being tested right there, just like the market. And, she says no, and then she's in a better mood, and she's laughing at some joke you say, and then you ask her out again, and suddenly she's really in the mood, and she says yes. But if you would have said, I'm just going to fall into a deep depression and need, psychotropic drugs to get out of this, then you're never there for that second opportunity. And that's why I'm saying that's the example of not having a stop. The girl says no, and you just fall into a depression for the next 6 months. And you're living under a rock somewhere, That's the example of not using a stop. You stop yourself out, okay, fair enough, And then later you have a second shot if you're talking and she says yes, and now that's a life example of life doing what the markets does. And many of you are better with the women, probably. You know how to go back and ask a second and third time. So I'm not telling you to be like Mike Tyson now and drag him up to a hotel room at 2 a.m. and
right.
No, I'm just saying ask the second time. I'm just trying to make it. I don't want anybody to think I'm...
Where did that come from?
Because there's a new TV program about Mike Tyson.
That's
going to be on. Yeah, there's some new TV show about Mike Tyson, and I saw the preview for it, and I thought, that show probably won't run very long.
I thought he was in jail.
No, he's not in jail right now. He's out of jail.
Hmm.
For now.
He's just broke again.
I just want... I do have a little bit of a Mike Tyson story. I just have to tell this. This is just for the entertainment side. For those of you who don't know, he does either now or has lived in Las Vegas for many years, and myself and other people have seen him around town at restaurants and stuff. And he looks exactly like he does on TV. He's a surprisingly short guy. But when he had a lot of money, when he was really, really hot in the 90s or whenever it was, he was buying Rolls Royces for his friends. Like, I would go out and buy Snickers bars for, Dwayne and Mike here and Bird. He was buying cars that were like $300,000 each. So he was throwing money around at a really, really big pace there, really stupidly. Nobody was managing him, and he had made at one point he was making as much as $30 million per fight, and of course he had his boxing promoter that was probably stealing from him, and all the stuff that goes on.
His fortune at one point was, I think, valued at $300 million.
Yeah, he had a lot of money. He's essentially out of all that money now.
Yep.
And people say, well, how could that happen? And, you know, I mean, where would you even spend all that money? The funny thing is as much money as you have, you can spend all of it. And that's why, I'm going to make my final point, it's not a good idea to open up your trading account with a really big amount of money. Because if you're not good at trading, you'll go through all of that money. If you started out with a $50,000 account, you'll go through $50,000. But if you started out with a $5,000 account, you'll go through $5,000, and when it's empty, Bert will call you up and say, we need a little bit more money in here, and he's going to manage you and say, now listen, I don't want you to go through that $5,000. Let's take a look at what you're doing. This is why I want you, if you're new, to give Bert at Daniel's Trading a call. I make no money from telling you this. I'm telling you this that if you're new to trading or moderately involved, it's a very good idea to have somebody to talk with, somebody who's been through the game, and somebody who has seen the death and the destruction that happens in trading from people who do it foolishly, the same way that Mike Tyson used his money foolishly. People say, how could he lose $300 million? I got news for you. If it was a billion, Mike Tyson would have spent it all. He would be just as broke today as he was on the $300 million. If it was $50 million, he would have been broke, but just a little sooner. But he was going to go through it all. People who have bad trading habits go through all the money in their account. So I'm assuming when you're new, you have bad trading habits, and I'm suggesting to you that you keep your trading account size small. And then if you do burn through that money, you can reload the account a little wiser, a little better off, and then with somebody who's a pro, who knows what he's doing and has seen the death and destruction side and knows what makes success, you talk with him and he'll help you through those that period of trading your next $5,000 rather than just burn through a big account. One of the things that a big account does, I just want to say this real quick and then I'll let you go. I've done that. I've traded with larger accounts. And what it does is it puts you into a mindset that you have all this money there, and so therefore you don't have to worry about, you know, managing the risk so closely because you've got plenty of money. That's death. That is, you can put that on a tombstone, what I just said. I opened my account up, I got plenty of money, I don't have to worry about managing the risk. That's what it says on the tombstone. Here lies Ted Smith. And that's that was his last statement before he died. That's what it does. And I've gone through a number of sizable accounts. I've never said to anybody on this program or anywhere else that every time I trade I make money, and I've never said to anybody that I've not gone through large accounts. They were my own, thankfully, not somebody else's. But I've wasted six-figure money multiple times in the market. So when I'm saying the things I'm saying, I'm talking from the actual experience, which is ugly, painful, depressing, dizzying, and everything else you'd want to say about it. And I was a slow learner to that. It took me many, many years to stop doing that. Why? Because I could keep reloading the account. With what? Big money.
Well said. You just reload. Oh, well.
Just reload.
I get it right this time. You know? I'm not going to do anything different.
Yeah, I'm not going to do anything different. I'm just going to reload the account and everything's fine. Everything's good. I'm fine. We're good to go. You know?
That's true definition of insanity.
What's that?
I said that is the true definition of insanity.
That is the true definition of insanity. And I've been healed from that insanity, and I've come back from that to tell you that no matter how much money you have, you should trade with a small account until you build up money and let your own, listen to this, let your own success determine your growth. There it is. Not how much money you have in the bank, but your own success. Let that success determine your growth, and you'll be fine. And you don't have to Mike Tyson your trading career.
You know, interestingly, when I met him, he never says anything in a normal voice.
He doesn't have a normal voice.
It's always the high-pitched, whiny voice.
He's the classic high-pitched whine. That's
I met him at a feed store in Glendale. He raises birds, homing pigeons, other stuff.
He also raises hell. I don't know if you've read the papers,
does that
but
too.
Go ahead.
I was out there to buy white doves for a funeral, and I come to find out white pigeons are much less expensive, and the average man in the street can't tell them apart. So that's just a little tip there if you have to do any estate planning. So I met him, and he was very nice. Hey, what are you doing? What do you got in that box? Oh, that's so sweet, you know. He had his little entourage with him, and he was nice and friendly and interesting. And So that's
well. I think that's a phrase. I think we can use that from now on, Bert. You can just use the, you know, we're not going to let you Mike Tyson your account because that's what it is. You've got money and you put it in there and you just burn it all up. Now, that's all the downside. I just want to say this. The upside is wonderful. The upside to this is that if you manage your risk, you can make money in the markets and it's a new income stream. It's a wonderful way to exercise your mind. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but it is. It does take work to put these trades together, right? I mean, to plan it out and figure out what the market's going to do, all of that stuff. And the reward is both knowing that whatever your methodology is, that you traded correctly, you did what you were supposed to do, you operated your plan, you managed your risk, and at the end of the month, you have a few thousand bucks or whatever it is that is in your account, and you're ahead. It's very satisfying, very, very satisfying. And you're able to do something that very few people, because of psychology, not because of technique, but because of psychology, very few people can actually do it day in and day out. No matter what the technique is, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's reflected wave or Dwayne's methodology, anything that Bert has, in the end, you have to be the operator of that technique. These techniques are not self-employed. They need somebody to employ them. Somebody has to be there to put that thing to work and to manage it. And so you're that other part of the equation, and many people don't have the psychology. But once you do, and once you've gotten past some of the really ugly mistakes that can happen in trading, it's very satisfying. It's a wonderful feeling to make the money that way. It's not free money. If you're thinking of it as free money, I would like to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, you're thinking incorrectly. You're earning every dollar you make. It's a different kind of earning. It's a different kind of way of making money. It's not a paycheck, but what it is earning. And when you lose money, those are expenses. It's not like gambling where you just, oh, I lost. It's an expense. It's part of the expense in trading to have a wrong decision or to be stopped out by a sudden move or whatever. That's part of it, and those are the expenses. And at the end of the month, you measure your expenses against your gains. And if you're doing it correctly and if your psychology is clean and clear and you know what you're doing, then you know what? It's a wonderful feeling to make some money in the markets. And so I love it. I just don't think it's for everybody. I think the people that it's for are people who understand and resonate to the idea that in the end, no matter what the technique is, it doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't matter how accurate it is, in the end, it's not a self-employed technique. You have to employ it. And in the end, that makes you the most important part of the whole business. And even if you have bad psychology now, bad psychology meaning getting angry, throwing chairs, breaking windows, throwing yourself out a window, all the things that people do when they have bad trades or they're upset with themselves, which is okay, I understand that's a release. The fact is you can get beyond all of that if you want to. The thing is that people really enjoy their anger, people really enjoy throwing things, people really enjoy throwing themselves, and you know, you're going to have to get over that. What do you want more? Do you want to trade well, or would you rather get that fast thrill out of throwing the chair? You know, you have to take the pick, because you do have the power to get over that. You really do. You may say you don't, but you really do. You're just protecting yourself from, you know, having to give it up. Some people are in love with that stuff. And so when you get past all that, and you can really see what a fun thing, what a really wonderful thing it is that markets exist, that we don't have to have a special license to walk up to the market and place a trade and really turn it into a little business that we run day to day. And
you know, I've found that I'm totally addicted to indoor plumbing.
Uh-huh.
And sleeping with a roof over my head at night.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then you're not living in Costa Rica, where my daughter is now, where they don't even have that, or addresses, for that matter.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope that's interesting and good information for people. For the people that are new, this radio program's on every day. We're all here every day. We talk about Mark. Plenty of forecasts and plenty of trades. Dwayne takes trades in his own system with Mike. We have a few other guests that come on from time to time. And we try to do what we talk about. You know, we try to do it exactly the way we talk about it. And there's a lot of good information right here on the program every day. If you want to get our free nightly report, you can go to pagetrader.com and go to the website on the left-hand side and click for the free nightly report that has a longer-term outlook and some forecasts that we make there. And you're always welcome to take a trial of Messenger Pro. we'll plan on, I hope everybody has a great weekend. I'll plan on, Dwayne, unless you have anything else for me.
For those who are visiting for the first time, if you go to CFRN.net and click on the blog where it says CFRN e-mini blog, and then go to the daily news tab right there, you can scroll down and you can find yesterday's podcast where we spoke with David for, I think we talked for a couple hours yesterday, and then scroll down.
You just couldn't shut me up. That's
a little more, and there's the podcast for Wednesday, and then you scroll down a little farther, and as you can see, you get my point, you can go through, you can listen to us chat. So you're wondering, well, I heard that guy in a webinar, yeah, and then I heard him one time on the radio, but yeah, I don't know. Or you can do this. You can go archive.cfrn.net. And when that baby loads, also, you can listen to the radio 24/7 at this address. You can listen to the radio 24/7 at christiantraders.com as well. But you can scroll down this page at archive.cfrn.net and keep scrolling and keep scrolling. And you can go, yeah, but what were those characters saying back in 2010? What were they saying? What were they saying? Oh, I forgot to turn off the radio. Now I can hear myself. What were they saying? Oh, I forgot to turn off the radio.
Dwayne,
I hate it when that happens, but you know it happens a lot, and it's always kind of funny.
Michael, can you fix him? It sounds like Dwayne is like a robot going out of control.
Here's one of Bert's old videos. See, in other words, I guess what I'm trying to say, folks, is we have 5 years' worth of these podcasts and videos, and see, here's, oh, goodness. I don't know what day we're on yet. Let me find a date. There's December the 11th. But then when you get down to the bottom of that page, you can go to older posts. I mean, you can go back for a year, 2 years. And we've been saying basically the same stuff now for 5 years. So, you know, after a few of them, you'll get the idea. And we've been saying basically the same stuff now for 5 years. So, okay. Got to turn it off. All right. So, archive.cfrn.net. You can listen to podcasts. You can listen to the live radio. You can go to christiantraders.com, and you can listen to the live radio there. Okay, made it very simple. This is a very clean page, just loads quick. You don't have any issues. And, of course, you can tune in live here every day. This is public radio. We invite all of you. We're very happy that those of you who were in David's webinar yesterday came to hang out and pay a visit today. We invite you to come back every day. And David is always open to answering questions. Any questions, you just type them in the box. And let's see if there were any questions. I know I'm over my time here already, but David, did you have a roadmap for today?
We don't have a roadmap yet for today, but I mentioned earlier that I think we're going to have a roadmap in the following hour. So in other words, we're talking about the fifth hour for a potential roadmap in today's S&T session. So it may not be a huge roadmap, but it'll give us something to trade. And we've already had two successful trades today in the Messenger Pro. This would set us up for another trade, and we'll message that in the live Pro. For people also, just so they know this, if we often will give out roadmaps right on the program here so that people can take advantage of them in their own trading. We just don't have the setup fully engaged yet for today. But you can go back, as Dwayne's saying, through the blog if you want. We've given out hundreds of them, I mean, over the years. So,
have you ever gone back and listened to yourself a year later, David?
You know, I have not, and maybe, you know, with some of that stuff that you got from Peru and a Blacklight poster of Led Zeppelin, maybe we could do that sometime.
We can maybe put out a CD, the best of. So there you go. Oh, DJ has a good question. This live webinar is not available every day, right? Actually, it is. If you go to CFRN.net and if you take our free trial, that just gets you on our mailing list, and then you'll get an invitation every week an email invitation to come into this webinar. You can listen via the radio stream without coming into the webinar, but if you want to be able to come in and see the chart, see what we're talking about, be able to type in questions, that sort of thing, then click that link and then come into the webinar every day. This hour to 2 hours of radio is absolutely free. It's open to the public. An email that went out last Sunday night, it said, share this link with the people you love. And I encourage you to do that because there's a lot of love here. So, all right, David, I got to go.
All right, you guys, have a great weekend. Thank you for coming.
There's a little trade setting up here. People might want to keep an eye out, take a look, you know, trade at your own risk, all that. There's the entry, there's the stop, there's the target. I hope everyone has a great weekend.
Thank you.
Is there any follow-up I can... Oh, that was a private message. Okay, sorry. Okay. All right, that's it. All right, David, you have a great weekend.
Okay, Michael,
we'll
Bert,
talk to you.
Dwayne, have a great weekend. I'll talk with you guys later.
All right, thanks so much.
All right, see you then. Bye-bye.
Okay, Michael, Bert, have a great weekend.
Yeah. You too, Dwayne.
All right,
see you Monday.
All right, we'll see you Monday.
All right.
Okay, guys, everyone in the listening audience, if you have any questions, email michaeltech@cfrn.net or myself, ct@cfrn.net. Or you can call Bert toll-free at 866-928-3310. And all that information is out on the website as well. Just come hang out over the weekend. You can listen to the radio, get your spirit fed, be encouraged. And other than that, I guess I'll see all of you in church on Sunday, correct? All right, be sure to spend quality time with your family. That's really important. That's why God made weekends. And whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial. Planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.